Message number 5 on the Epistle of the Galatians. Beloved radio friends, we greet you heartily in the precious name of our wonderful Savior and welcome you to the continued study and the closing message of this week on the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians in chapter 1. We have noted in verses 15 and 16 that the Apostle stated that the revelation of the gospel, the revelation of Christ in His blessed person, was given to him directly by God, and for the purpose of preaching Christ among the nations. Now let us notice as we continue on, beginning at verse 16 at the end of the verse, the reaction, the response of Paul following the great revelation of Christ to him. Paul immediately declares, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Now here is something of great importance in relation to the study of this epistle. For Paul has to deal with the legalistic teachers of Judaism who were corrupting the gospel of God's grace in his day. But after the conversion of this beloved apostle, it is unique to realize that he did not go and talk with the apostles who were up in Jerusalem. He knew Peter, James, and John, and other apostles dwelt in Jerusalem with other saints. But when Christ was revealed to him, he did not communicate with any other man, but he went immediately into the desert of Arabia. And it was 3 years without question of doubt that in the solitude of quietness the beloved Apostle Paul spent his days in fellowship unquestionably with his newly found Lord and Savior. Now this is important because God had called him to preach to the Gentiles. God gave him no commandment. God did not even tell him to go up to Jerusalem. God gave him no authority to consult with others, and especially not to go to Jerusalem for his instructions. Now, Jerusalem was the center of the law. Jerusalem was the center of Judaism. And, beloved, it is a unique fact that this man who, when converted, though he was one of the greatest exponents of the law, though he had been taught by the greatest teacher of the law in that day, Gamaliel by name, though he had attained greater heights of knowledge in relation to the law, though he towered as an example of the law above many of his fellow men, he did not go to Jerusalem to confer with anyone, but spent in the quietness of 3 years, possibly, fellowship with God in Arabia. And then he returned again, not to Jerusalem, as many may think, but to Damascus. Now note, after 3 years, he goes up to Jerusalem, as we read in verse 18 and 19. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." Now let's recognize something in these words that are very important. One can recognize and realize, we should, that when Peter went to Jerusalem, he did not go to display what God had done to him and with him and for him before all the saints. As far as we have any record here, as Paul writes, "I saw Peter, and I did see James, the Lord's brother. Of all the other 10 apostles, I did not see any of them." And he said, "What I write to you now before God," he says, "I'm telling you, I lie not." Now one certainly can recognize there must have been a very great conversation with this 2 week visit, 15 day visit of Paul with the beloved apostle Peter. But we must realize, for Paul is giving this personal account of how God personally led him and saved him and led him in relation to the gospel. And then as he recites following the visit that was his with Peter and James in verse 18 and 19 and 20, then he declares that he came into the region of Syria and in the region of Cilicia, a region that was north of Jerusalem, north of the land of Israel. And as far as being known by the churches in Judea, please note this, I was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Now Paul is dwelling upon these facts for the obvious purpose to indicate that there was no conferring with the giving of the law and the teachers of the law when God revealed his Son Jesus Christ to his heart and to his soul, so that there was very little contact with those who were in Jerusalem and even amongst the churches of Judea. But there was one thing that was known. They knew him by reputation. For you read in the 23rd verse, the closing verse of our chapter, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Now that was a very blessed testimony. They heard the one who had persecuted them so severely, hauling many Christians to prison, as well as being, and on an occasion, the means of the death of some. But now the faith that he once sought to destroy, he's preaching. My beloved, I think this is one of the greatest testimonies in life of the beloved Apostle Paul. That God in his sovereign grace saw a man who was so determined and so religious and so faithful in the religion that he believed in, that God must have recognized, here's a fellow that if I can turn him around, he'll be on fire for me. Well, one fact is certainly true. That's exactly what took place. And even the churches of Judea could and did acknowledge the faith that he once sought to destroy. He's preaching it. Now, beloved, you've got to acknowledge this is one of the most amazing miracles of God's grace. To turn a man positively around from what he believed and bring him to Christ and then have him begin preaching Christ wherever he went. This is a marvelous example of the grace and the mercy of God. Well, did Paul write in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 1 and declare that the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant through faith and love which was in Christ Jesus? And acknowledge this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And Paul never forgot to his dying day that he had blasphemed against God, that he had persecuted the people of God, that he had been a rebel and an uppish, snobbish character, proud and insolent in his dealings before he was saved. And may I say, Paul shows the evidence of humility, as thus he undoubtedly felt, how can I face those Christians whom I persecuted and many of them I destroyed? And so he never went into the vicinity of the churches of Judea, but he went elsewhere preaching Christ. But his reputation of his conversion and of his new life was heralded abroad, and the saints in Judea and in Jerusalem, Paul says in the opening or the closing of the chapter, verse 24, only half a dozen words, and they glorified God in me. Beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing when God gets hold of a man? When Christ gets hold of a person? What a radical change! Well, may the poet write as he did, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And beloved, may I say, Paul is stating, and may I requote the words again that I've quoted before, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9:15, rather, Paul says, this is a faithful saying. This is worthy of everyone accepting it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul's conduct toward the Christian testimony in his unsaved religious days ever brought him sad remembrances and shame upon his heart and in his mind. But he acknowledges that if anyone will believe that God saved the chief of sinners as he was, then they too can be saved. And if Paul confesses that God saved the chief of sinners, he himself, my beloved, let me state, God is able to save you. There's no sinner too vile. There's no sinner too far away from God. There's no sinner in the depths of degradation and sin. But what the power of God in the gospel can lift him up and bring Christ into his heart. Oh, my beloved, as we close this chapter, may I repeat again as we have noted, the gospel is a message concerning the person of Christ. It is concerning not only the person of Christ, it concerns the death of Christ for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I would ask the question, my listener, are you trusting Christ alone? Do you have Christ as your Savior? Is he yours? And have you received him into your heart? Well, may the poet write, as many times we hear the children sing, into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. My radio friend, don't believe any other message. There is only one message that is the gospel of Christ. And with Paul we repeat, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My radio friend, have you believed it? God help you to do it today if you have not. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for Paul's message, Christ, who meets the need of every soul for time and eternity. May someone trust Christ today, we pray in his worthy name. Amen.